Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Today, we're bringing you a podcast briefing about data integration and service-oriented architectures. I'm Hannah Smaltry, news writer.
And I'm Catherine Marquis, assistant editor. So what are we going to talk about today, Hannah?
Well, as you well know, we hear a lot about service-oriented architectures, or SOAs, these days. This architectural approach is quickly gaining popularity because it can help improve business agility by loosely coupling siloed applications using web services or other methods. But here at Search Data Management, we want to know, what about the data? How does data integration change with the advent of SOAs? How will data quality fit into the picture? And whether an SOA is a looming reality or a distant future, how can organizations ensure that the architecture and data integration investments that they make today will be viable when the time comes to implement an SOA? To get some answers, we caught up with SearchDataManagement.com expert contributor Rick Sherman to ask, so SOAs seem like they'll do everything. Will they solve data hunger?
To give you some background, Rick has more than 20 years of business intelligence and data warehousing experience and has worked on more than 50 implementations as an independent consultant and as a director practice leader at a Big Five accounting firm. Rick is the founder of Athena IT Solutions, a Stowe, Mass-based business intelligence consulting firm specializing in assessment, implementation, and training services. Athena IT also consults with software companies to help them improve their data warehouse and BI products. He's also a regular contributor to SearchDataManagement.com.
Thank you for talking with us today, Rick.
You're welcome.
Now, Rick, how does data integration, as we know it, fit into the context of a service-oriented architecture?
All right. Well, first off, I have to say that when most of my clients or anybody asks me about SOA, their eyes start glazing over once you start throwing out all the acronyms. So I have a tendency to try to step back and try to demystify it a little bit. Service-oriented architecture is really an evolution of some basic principles that go on for the last 20 or 30 years, rather than a revolution. And it's an evolution from two perspectives. One, it's just really modular programming, structured programming from the 70s through the 80s and object-oriented programming, where we try to take these big monolithic applications and putting them in smaller and smaller chunks or objects, and now they're called services, so that they could be reused by various applications. That's really all service-oriented architecture is. It's this old concept of structured program modified and reusable for people that are trying to do data integration and data services. And that's where it plays into data, in that when people want to get order data, when they want to get customer information, customer data, they want to be able to plug into a SOA or a data service in order to pull that customer data back. And so that's how it plays into data.
So can you give us some real-world examples of how applications might use data in a service-oriented architecture?
Sure. Two areas where I think it's particularly useful in is with retailers like Amazon or Barnes & Noble and L.L. Bean. When you go in, you place an order, you look at order tracking, you want to find out when FedEx or UPS is trying to deliver your order. You're getting your credit card validated. All those things can be implemented with SOA or data services. It makes your experience faster, and it improves your customer service. And it's also true on the financial services side, where big behemoths like Citicorp, Bank of America, are offering your credit cards, mortgages, loans, 401ks, checking, small business services. All that data spread all over a large corporation like Citigroup or Bank of America. And to you, it doesn't matter, because you can get all that information right on your screen instantly. And that's all can happen in the background based on SOA or these data services.
Now, I understand that you make a distinction between data services and data integration services. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I keep running into a lot of architects, a lot of folks talking about data services. And I think that a lot of people, when they do planning for SOA, kind of don't plan for as comprehensive a change as they need to. And that's because, and that's the reason why I differentiate between data and data integration. Data services, from most people's mind, is just going, getting data, and bringing it back. It may be querying data across a lot of different sources. It might be going against a lot of records. But it's really just getting the data, putting it together, and showing it to you. You know, what's the inventory control or what's the status of my order? But data integration services is really what we've been doing in data warehousing for 20 or more years. And that's you're getting data from a lot of different sources. You're trying to ensure data quality, data integrity, data consistency. And it takes a lot of processing, a lot of those little services to happen in order to transform data into useful business information. So that's where data services is just a little subset of data integration.
Now you just mentioned a few of them right now, but what kinds of services are part of a complete data integration service?
First off, sort of in an SOA context, data integration services is a composite service. It's a bunch of services put together to do something greater than what the small ones are. Data access and extraction is a service. Transformation, cleansing, profiling, data movement, and that could be in batch, that could be real time, that could be through a message, metadata exchange, or a combination of all those things. So that's sort of the base functions of services. And then each of those services could be set up for order data, customer data, supplier information. And so the data integration would sort of be all those functions and all those different pieces of data sort of put together in a puzzle to make it something useful for the business person or for the business process.
So how are data integration vendors addressing SOA in their platforms? Are there specific features or functions that our listeners should look for in an integration platform with sort of SOA in mind?
Yeah. One of the good things is I've done a lot of work with data integration and ETL vendors, and a few of them in particular, Essential before they were bought out in IBM, and now they're continuing that philosophy in Informatica. Have been on the forefront and visionaries as far as thinking about data integration services as opposed to just ETL. And so what those companies, especially those leaders, did at first was acquire data cleansing, data profiling, EII, enterprise information integration, EAI, enterprise application integration, a bunch of other acronyms, but different services that were more this composite set of services which create data integration. So certainly the leading vendors did it, and starting in the last couple of years, many of the other ETL vendors have sort of started to set up this data platform that is SOA enabled. So one of the key things to look at is look at what the literature is talking about, look that they actually provide something more than just saying they're SOA compliant. Look to see if they have data cleansing, data profiling, different forms of data movement, and you can get to them from other applications.
How can organizations best prepare themselves and their data integration strategies for an SOA future?
All right. I really split the world up into two camps. The first camp, and the ones that have been the early adopters, are the companies that have, for a lot of various reasons, continued to build their own applications. Financial services companies, insurance companies are two types of companies that haven't really relied on ERP systems as much as others. Their product space, what they're trying to do was unique, so they have their own homegrown applications. Now those companies are in a lot of mergers and acquisitions. They're trying to be more efficient. They're trying to break down these big monolithic applications and be able to take the best of different pieces and use them internally. And so for them, they're really trying to take SOA and break down their applications so that they can provide data services and application services. They can cut down the cost of maintaining these applications, easing the cost of merger and acquisitions, and quite frankly, improve their customer service because they can get to the piece of the application a lot more effectively. So that's the one camp. They're the early adopters. They're faced with not only implementing an SOA framework, but also rewriting a lot of their applications. So a lot of the early word on the street is how big these SOA implementations are. And for those kind of vendors, because they have homegrown applications, that's indeed the case. Then we have the other camp, which will be either mainstream or late adopters. Those folks, and this trend happened in the 90s, which is most people have gone to enterprise applications, enterprise resource planning applications, off the shelf, they're buying applications rather than building applications. For those folks, they don't have to go in and rewrite their applications. What they need to do, and which is much easier, is they really need to look and see if their enterprise application vendors have become SOA compliant, and if their enterprise application vendors allow their software and their services to interplay with other applications that these, that the clients have. And so what that'll do in the long run is make things a lot cheaper, a lot more effective, and a lot easier for IT.
What do you think are the biggest misconceptions about data integration services in an SOA?
All right. And I think there's sort of two spectrums on this. We first have the real technical folks, the architects, who are really into the technology. And although they understand what SOA means, they got all the buzzwords, they know all the protocols, to some degree, they're like this. I'm teaching a graduate course this semester at a Boston-based university, and they're all in the master's program and an engineering program. They're all smart. But what I keep finding is they don't have a context to the real world of dirty data and data silos. And I often think about them when I talk to a lot of the architects out there that are trying to implement SOA. They can understand a lot of the technology, but sort of the complexity of data integration escapes them because it's sort of like it doesn't make sense to them why people have all this data out there. But as most of the people listening to this podcast know, is the data is dirty and data is spread out over there, and you don't need just data. You need data integration to get it done. So that's one spectrum sort of view, is the techies look at it just from a technical perspective and not from a real world's perspective. And the other way is the folks, which I mentioned earlier, whose eyes are glazed over, they're the folks who have been buying applications and have been buying applications so they didn't have to get into the nitty-gritty of all this infrastructure work. And for them, they're a little bit wondering what SOA means to them or not. But the good news for them is if they buy the right application vendors' products, then eventually those products will end up saving them money, saving them time, and saving them system integration work in the long run. So they have it the easiest. They just have to understand what SOA can do for them and what it won't do for them, demystify it.
Hmm. Can you offer some words of advice for listeners who are tasked with developing their organization's strategy for data integration within an SOA?
And again, we'll get back to those sort of two camps of folks. For the folks that have their own homegrown applications and have to actually restructure their applications, then my biggest advice is to really take time to plan for a sort of more complex implementation than just the technical infrastructure for SOA. They're really going to have to get into looking at revising their applications and rewriting their applications and probably using a system integrator to help them in that respect. So that's the one group. The second group of folks, the more mainstream folks, my suggestion for them is to sit back, try to get a feeling for what SOA can mean to them, think about how it really applies to what they're trying to do, and then pick their vendors, await an upgrade with their existing vendors when they have the SOA capability and try to figure out what the business applications for it is. As with any technical wave that comes along, some of the early adopters install it and use it just for technology's sake, but in this case, it's only as good as the business that you're trying to apply it to.
And with all this complexity involved, can you leave us with some inspiration about the ultimate promise of an SOA with data integration services?
You know, I've been around long enough that I mentioned before about structured programming, modular programming, object programming. They've all been sort of these esoteric concepts along the way. But bottom line, all of them, including SOA, promise to really being able to reuse existing processes and existing data so that you wouldn't have to keep rewriting it time and time and time again. Now, we've been struggling with sort of the single version of the truth and really the single version of how business processes run for a long time. And the promise of SOA is we're at a point where some of those things will be able to achieve or at least get a lot closer to with SOA.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, Rick.
Oh, you're welcome.
To learn more about Rick or Athena IT Solutions Consulting Assessment, Implementation, and Training Services, visit their website at athena-solutions.com or email rsherman@athena-solutions.com. You can also keep up with Rick by checking out his Data Doghouse blog about business intelligence and data warehousing. That's at datadoghouse.typepad.com. Or you can always read his regular columns right here on searchdatamanagement.com.
I also want to remind listeners that you can find more data integration articles and resources at searchdatamanagement.com. Check out articles on Gartner's Magic Quadrant for data integration tools. Read House, SOA Technology is Changing the Integration Game, and learn how to demystify SOA for business people. Read a Q&A on data integration challenges with Integration Consortium founder Michael Kubach. Find out what expert Jill Deshe has to say about the role of enterprise data integration in a service-oriented architecture, or read one of our sample chapters on SOA and business rules management. And if you have a specific question, ask one of our data management experts using our Ask the Expert feature on our site. You can find links to all of these helpful resources and more on the download page for this podcast.
And if you forget any of the terms we covered today, don't forget about our glossary. It's a great place to get a quick, concise definition of all kinds of data management terms.
Remember, you can find this podcast and our most recent podcast at searchdatamanagement.com. Our series of data management podcast briefings is a great way to introduce new people or new managers to some of these more technical concepts. And remember to add searchdatamanagement.com to your RSS feed to your newsreader. Subscribe to our email newsletters and check back frequently for articles about data integration, business intelligence, and many other data management topics.
And we're always interested in what you have to say, so please feel free to email us anytime with your thoughts, comments, and ideas about data management. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Signing off from searchdatamanagement.com, I'm Hannah Smaltry, newswriter.
And I'm Catherine Marquis, assistant editor. You've been listening to a searchdatamanagement.com podcast about SOA and data integration. Have a great day.